Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Saturday morning, so we are talking about our feedback and question and answers and the series that don't fit into our normal series during the rest of the week. So we've been doing a series on setting supernatural goals, a sort of paralleling. We know how, most of us know how to set goals in the natural. We may not follow them or pursue them, but most of us know how to do that. But most of us really have never approached the concept or applied it that we are also, since we are also accountable and responsible and have authority over our soul, that just as we are to learn to rule and reign over our body, which is one of the reasons we create goals, is the same applies to our soul, the supernatural realm. And we'll be getting into the distinction between those goals within your soul, your own soulical realm, your mind, will, and emotions, and we'll expand that to include the supernatural realm in general, other creatures in the supernatural realm, that would be angels and demons, as well as your own supernatural senses, as well as including your gifts and anything going on related to the supernatural realm in your soul. To start with, though, we start with sort of clearing the dealing with what's most important to us, which is those wounds and any misbeliefs that are starting to, at least, in our soulical realm, so in the supernatural realm, that may interfere with where we want to go in these other areas later. So we are kind of taking the big issues first and clearing them and taking them on head on. Of course, you know, double checking with God at every single step. He's our teacher. We're going to follow his lead and follow his path and follow his course. But how we do that is by looking at the process and each step very objectively, recognizing that his goal is not to make this as difficult as possible, but to increase our dependence on him so that clarity and freedom will come from him, not from our strength of effort or wisdom or trying hard. It will all come from him. He will set you free, and he will give you the clarity and the wisdom and the direction that you're seeking. Our job is to merely show up for class. Now, it's good to know many are, even just going through the process, are not only receiving a freedom and a healing of things that occurred in the past, that's always great to hear, but also that to find out things that had been already healed and were the only part that were really an obstruction was the fear of it. That it was something that when they got down to it, it wasn't nearly as big of a deal, and that they were always not going there because they thought it would be a big deal. So this is another one of those areas where we will are learning to develop a habit to keep things clean and clear and that when there's an obstruction, where there's an area, to recognize that that's a red flag and that we don't run from red flags. We run to them. Because recognizing a red flag is merely for us, for Christians, is for us merely an indication that God is leading us to the problem for the purpose of resolving that problem in whatever way, shape, or form he chooses when we get there. So when you've got an issue, run to it. When you've got a stress or a crisis, run to it. So, you know, at first it may take everything you've got just to not run from it. And then you'll be able to turn around and face it and then maybe crawl towards it and then walk towards it. But eventually what we want to be able to do is recognize that those crises and problems and fears and stresses are God's way of drawing our attention to something. And anything he wants to draw our attention to is fine with us. We're certainly not going to say, God, this is, you know, you can only draw my attention to wounds that need to be healed. Anytime he wants to draw our attention, he has that right and that privilege. So we're going to learn to respond to any area where he's getting our attention. Of course, this starts with, Lord, is that you? And even if it's not, in the case of recognizing that it's an area where we're having an issue, what do we do next? We ask the Lord, Lord, is this something you want me to be dealing with now? Sometimes he's going to say no, but sometimes he's going to say yes. You know, and this is how we will begin to differentiate between distractions from our enemies or God trying to get our attention to rule and reign, learn to take authority in an area. It's not something we're going to be able to figure out on our own. You're not going to learn this from a book or from these programs or any ministry or from the Bible or from even, you know, premeditation. It's going to take a interactive, moment-by-moment communication with God. In other words, thinking you're prayed up for the week, for whatever reason, or prayed up for even for the day, isn't going to cut it. It may make you more sensitive that there's an issue. But you're still going to have to take each issue, positive and negative, to God. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, I just want to be really clear. I don't mean that you have to stop whatever you're doing and go and find a prayer closet where you are able to bring your thoughts under control and, you know, meet some set of standards or qualifications in order to be available to God speaking to you. All I mean is, you know, we talked about in another series, coming up with your own phrase. If you can use the one I use, but if that's not comfortable or if God gives you another one, if it doesn't fit in with your thinking, just find something else. I just use, Lord, is that you? And just for me, just that phrase turns me to him. It doesn't matter what you are focusing on, because the whole point is whether it's, you know, something you should be focusing on or not, whether it's positive, negative, distraction, your enemies, it's the whole point is you are turning to him. You are turning your focus, your dependence, your desires to him. Lord, is that you? Lord, is that something you want me to be dealing with? Lord, what do I do now? What do you want me to do with this? Am I supposed to do anything with this? Are we done? So the point being that nobody can, there's not enough time in our lives for us to learn and memorize every distraction and deception and accusation and temptation and rejection and wound and distortion and any way representation of our enemies or the positive, where we, in the strength of our own soul, is going to be able to figure out whether God is speaking to us or not. There will only be one way, and that's to ask. Think about your close relationships. What's the best way to find out what the other person is thinking? Now, they may be throwing off clues, like if there's door slamming and such, and but what's the best way to find out what that's all about? Ask. Now, that may fly in the face of some of our preconceptions about, well, if you loved me, you'd know what it was I was thinking. Let's just drop that right now. Okay, that is just not true. So I don't know who came up with that, but we need to dump that right now. You are showing a great disrespect to the other person when you expect them to know what you're thinking. If they don't ask, if something's bothering you and they don't ask, it's your responsibility to let them know. Now, there's a time and a place for everything, as you don't want to, you know, if something's going on, you don't want to escalate it. But if somebody's slamming doors, it's because they want to talk about it now. Okay, and even God sometimes slams doors. We call them bad things going wrong in our lives, flat tire, etc. But our goal is to learn to depend on God. And through that, we are learning to rule and reign on this earth. So we're starting in the supernatural realm. We've got our list, and your homework last week was to work it out with God about narrowing it down to three. Now, some of those things might be, you know, you might have gotten down to four or five or one. And we're just going to make sure we've brought in, worked this part of the exercise to get the most out of it. So we're going to go back and forth a couple of times. Okay? It's one of the ways that we see that it's very often not the rush to finish the process that does the work. But it's very often, in terms of knowing God, it's very often the process itself that brings us freedom and that heals the wound and that changes how we relate to ourselves, our others, and God. So we want to value the process. Take your time with the process. Though we're going to be able to move a little bit more quickly, we're also, just as we repeat things many times over and over and over again because they are important and we need to learn them and because we need to be reminded of them and because what we do know is so big, it's like every time we're reminded what our misbeliefs are chipped away like they're Mount Everest and we've just got a little a chisel and we're poking away at Mount Everest. So it's going to take a lot of reminders, but we are making progress. Okay? But it's the process we want to appreciate. It's not getting rid of Mount Everest. That will come with time, but we want to be able to recognize the changes and the relationship that is being developed as we go through the process. Because we will always be in process, pretty much. Some point in time, someone will achieve that oneness. Just as Adam was created as one and Jesus was here on this earth as a complete person, complete man, God, someone here, there will be a new man on this earth. But I don't see anyone near that. Now, God may be keeping them hidden, or it may not be anywhere in the way we're looking for it or I'm looking for it. And that's fine. But the point being is that odds are we're going to be in process for a good long time, most of the time we're here on this earth. And odds are in whatever comes next as well. So learn to be patient with yourself, to be patient with God, and to persevere. Keep chipping away at Mount Everest with whatever chisel you've got. And right now, our chisel is setting goals. So we're in, as far as this number of goals we've got. Last week we talked about if you've got some that are numbered, and then to just ask the Lord to reveal to you by number what He wants to deal with you. And then if you didn't have them numbered, just to let your eyes wander along the paper. Well, I want to go back and let's just everybody be on the same page and go ahead and everybody number your issues. Now, don't worry. Nobody else is ever going to see this. So if you've got scribbles all over the page, that's fine. This is not a neatness contest. But if you do need to rewrite things, feel free. This is your ongoing project. You can, consider this your level of your new hobby. Sometimes people, like to carry them around with it. What's going on in a particular, if this is something God is bringing to your desire, if this is something enticing to you, keep it in a separate notebook or folder and carry it with you, whether you go out to the garage to work on your car or you're going, to, the dentist's office. Just have it available so you can be thinking about it and be carrying it around and thinking, using the time that God may give you at any given time. He's not restricted at all to a certain time and a certain set of circumstances to be able to make the changes in you that He wants to make. So like I said, we're going to go back and forth a couple times just to get everything we can out of this part of the process, out of narrowing down the list and revising the list. So we started out with dealing with interferences, and we're going to go ahead and do that again. And this is something you as well can modify to your satisfaction, but what I want you to do is make it as streamlined as possible. In other words, this is you dealing with the interferences. Okay? This is not you claiming a position or a faith or a by faith or under the blood or in Jesus' name. This is part of you being who God made you to be, and you are a son of God. And as a son of God, you have all the authority that He does. And this is where we're starting to exercise that authority. Now, the authority we have, just as I don't see any of us being able to, transport ourselves around the world, without outside locomotion or walk through walls or, have complete control over time. So we're not there yet. So we do want to recognize that there are restrictions in our lives that are there with God's permission, and that we will not be able to yet take authority over them. But that doesn't mean we don't try, because that's part of the process, is we don't know until we try. When Peter stepped out of the boat in response to Jesus saying, come to me, he was the first one who'd ever done that. Okay? So he had been around Jesus enough to know that he had that authority over the physical world. That was never the question. It was his authority. It was Peter's authority that he questioned. And it wasn't, you know, Jesus never sank. You know, so Jesus never expressed any level of concern over his authority over the wind and the storm. But Peter questioned his own authority. So this is where we're going to be working on. And this was before, you know, Peter was not a born-again Christian. Okay? He did not have the identity. He did not have the spiritual identity that we do. So we should be so far beyond that. You know, yeah. That's for another day. We'll get into that. But the whole point being that the process that we're learning, the skills that we're learning are what's important, not necessarily being able to establish goals and meet them. So let's go ahead and just deal with the interference first. And we just take authority over all interferences, whether from the world, the flesh, or the devil. If you do not have a legal right to be here, you must go now. You must go where Jesus sends you. You must go and take all your hooks and crooks and lies and deceptions and wounds and scars with you. And you cannot come back. And if you do have a legal right to be here, you must go sit in the corner. You must stay away from what God is doing in our lives now. And you cannot interfere until, and you may not move until Jesus lets you. So then, from that point, we are now going to add an additional element to the process. And in a lot of ways, what we're doing on Saturdays is putting into effect the things we learn on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. So we've taken authority over beings, over interferences that have a legal right to be here and who don't have a legal right to be here. But what do? Now we go back to God and we ask him, Lord, are there any other interferences we need to deal with? Okay, you're going to get a yes or you're going to get a no. So let's just ask him, Lord, is there any other interference here that we need to deal with? Let me change that. Lord, is there any other interference that I need to deal with? So that's all the time you need. You either get a yes or a no. If it's a yes, we ask him, and we're just going to give a couple minutes to this. If he says no, we're ready to go to the next step. If he says yes, we just go back to him, Lord, what is the other interference? He could say something as simple, you're worried about the clock. He could say something about you're not being honest about what's on the list. He might be saying, you need to go, this is not what I want you to be doing right now. You need to put this aside and go deal with this practical issue that's on your plate right now. Those are just some examples, some things that the Lord brought to my mind, so hopefully they'll be helpful to someone out there. But the point being is that you do this process, then we go back and go, Lord, we're going to follow through on this. Is there anything else we need to deal with before we go to step two? You'll get a yes or a no. If you get a no, you're ready to go to step two. If you get a one, keep on dealing with it. Lord, what else do I need to deal with before I go to step two? What other interference is there? And just let him bring it to your mind and then deal with it. If you're not sure what it means, take it back to him. Lord, I'm not clear about this. Lord, is this you? And let him teach you this process, this part of the process, especially if it gets frustrating or complex, may be more valuable to work through this than the rest of the teaching combined. So don't get frustrated that you may not be moving as quickly as you'd like because there's things you want to accomplish. Well, this may be much more important to God because this may be the exact route that he wants to take in order to achieve a goal that may or may not be on your list. Everything on your list, he can accomplish just like that. But he wants to bring us into unity. So he's going to achieve his goal. This is our way of joining him. So work that through. And if you never get to step two, that's fine. Because again, what our goal is to know him, to hear from him, to have confidence that we're right with him, that we're hearing him, and that we're being changed by him. He's not going to let you miss out on something that he has for you. He loves you. His desire, he values exactly how he created you. He's not saying, you know, man, I wish she'd get her act together. Or I wish he hadn't have made that choice back when he was a teenager. Now I can't do with him what I had always planned on doing. So that's not him. And if those are the things that are interfering, God wants to deal with those. He wants to speak to you, reveal the lie, speak to you the truth, and bring restoration. And in his little time machine, he can make it as if it never happened. And even that it never happened. Now, some of these things we think were mistakes when it was actually could have been God protecting us from something or preventing something from protecting us from making an even bigger mistake. But this is not something for us to figure out or for us to even get counsel. We've talked before about how it's best to keep this between you and God. Now that doesn't mean if you've got questions or concerns, feel free to drop me a line. You know, I want to encourage you and help you when I can through the process. If you're feeling like you're hitting a roadblock and you want a little encouragement that you're on the right track, a little reflective, this is what it sounds like you're saying. Have you tried this? Have you thought of that? That's really what should be going on in the church. And eventually we'll get back to the whole concept of the six-month church, that the purpose of being in fellowship as a new believer is to be able to more quickly test what we're learning in safety by the guidance and reflection of others. In other words, that fellowship and that communion is supposed to be so heavy that the process is actually supposed to be sped up, not dragged out for you join the church and you're there forever. So we've dealt with any interference. We've gone through that process. Then I want you to ask the Lord, you've gone through your list. You've narrowed it down to three. Now ask him, Lord, am I missing anything? Is there anything on this list, or is there anything that's not on this list that should be on this list? And it's fine that you still mark those three. Like I said, we're going to go back and forth a couple times because very often it's through that process that the change occurs. It's like kneading bread. Okay, you don't just do it once. You do it over and over again so that those air pockets are released. So your homework for next Saturday is, Lord, am I missing any? Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.